Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 13 and 14. Philippians chapter number 3, verses 13 and 14. We did our yearly prayer this morning, so I hope that you have got a card. If you haven't, I think there's some more out there. Make sure you put that in a place that will remind you to pray that prayer for me and for yourself and for your brothers and sisters in Christ this year, that we will experience God in Christ to a greater degree. How many are glad you're here tonight? All the old people aren't here. Say amen. Just us youngins are here ready to tackle the new year. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. And we're grateful for your grace and your provision and your protection and your providence that has seen fit to get us through another year. And all the bumps and all the bruises and all the things we've had to go through, all of those have been good for us. They are according to the plan of God and for our development and for our conforming. So God, we thank you for this past year, and God, we ask whatever days that you would give us in the year to come, God, that you'd help us to know you better, love you more, and God, just to glory in you in a greater degree. We love you. We thank you. Thank you for those who come. I pray that you'd help us stay awake. You'd help us fellowship together and love one another. And God, we thank you that you have put us together and we're bound together by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you again. We love you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Verse 13 of Philippians chapter number 3, Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And all God's people said, now, you understand there is a sense in which we as believers, the moment we believed in Jesus Christ, we were complete in Him. He does the work and our salvation is complete in Christ the very moment we believed. Paul said in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And so there's a sense in which all believers, the moment they believe, everything is complete. But there's also a sense in which the Holy Spirit that dwells in us is not finished with us. As a matter of fact, there will be the need of the Holy Spirit to work on us and in us all the days of our life. We are being conformed into the image of Christ. And that process is in operation in each believer as we advance toward glory. And the time between when we have believed and when we will be in the presence of Christ is a growing process. In fact, I would say the lack of process would indicate a very unhealthy situation in the life of a believer. Well, Paul says some things here that I think would be helpful for us as we end one year and begin to start another. And the new year is always an intriguing time, isn't it? Tonight, this day, December the 31st, is always an intriguing time. I can remember, I told Barry this a couple of weeks ago, when I used to live in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, and I was just a little kid, my dad would give me some money, and I would go up on Miracle Strip to a pizza restaurant called Shakey's. I don't know if you all remember Shakey's Pizza or not, but they would have these little signs all across the top of their their restaurant inside, and I would eat and I would read those signs, and I got excited one day because one of those signs says, all the pizza you can eat free on December the 32nd. And I got all excited. I said, I'm going to be here on December 32nd and eat all that free pizza. And then I found out that there is no December 32nd, so that didn't work at all. But December the 31st is an intriguing time. It is a day when we have opportunity, right, to start over. It's sort of like slates become clean and we can begin afresh and anew, right? All of those days where we have blown diets during Thanksgiving and Christmas, tomorrow. We start again tomorrow. Say amen. Denise and I start tomorrow because we have not done well during Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's a time where we have an opportunity to evaluate the previous year and think about all the things that have happened to us the previous 365 days. And that's where Paul begins. He begins with a confession of his present spiritual condition. A confession of his present spiritual condition. And here's the confession. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. So, Paul begins by looking at where he is currently spiritually. That's what we should do tonight. We should stop for a moment tonight and privately and personally take account of where we are spiritually. And ask ourselves, did we make progress in 2017? Did we grow? And so Paul here is not indifferent to his spiritual condition. He's interested in where he is currently. And he says here, I count, which seems to imply that he has given this some thought and he has done some examination in his own heart and in his own life. You know, it's awful easy for us to examine others and to give our opinion about where others are spiritually, when what we should do is examine ourselves. Where are we? Where am I spiritually tonight? Where am I with God? So Paul had given careful thought to this matter, and he had come to an honest opinion, and he had come to an honest belief of where he felt he was. And as he pondered his spiritual progress, or the lack of spiritual progress, he had come to a conclusion about his own spiritual condition. And he says, after careful examination, he had concluded that he had not yet apprehended. In other words, he had not reached the point of gaining all that he wanted to gain. He had not reached the point that he had become all that he wanted to be. In other words, there's an air of discontentment here. When Paul looked at his own spiritual condition, he was discontented. He was not satisfied where he was spiritually. He had not apprehended. And I think it is the conclusion that every one of us in this building tonight ought to come to as well. We have not apprehended. When we look at our lives, our spiritual lives, when we come to the end of the year, we should be discontented where we are. Say amen. We should not be satisfied where we are spiritually. And the reason I say that is this. And I don't want to disparage anyone. I am confident that the Apostle Paul was a superior believer compared to any one of us. Would you agree? Now, those of you who think you're farther down the road than Apostle all. Okay. But I would think that the Apostle Paul was a superior believer compared to any one of us. And if the Apostle Paul is spiritually discontent, then should we who are inferior to him, should we also not be spiritually discontent as well? If we think tonight that we have progressed enough, and if we look back on 2017 and we say, you know what, I'm pretty satisfied with where I arrived here at the end of the year spiritually, I'm afraid probably we fail to understand the awfulness of sin and the holiness of God. If I think I'm in good shape and I have really done well spiritually and I'm in a good place spiritually and I'm happy where I am, I probably don't understand how awful sin really is or how holy God really is. To think we have progressed enough and are satisfied with where we are is a dangerous place to be, because if that's where we are, then we will seek to go no further. Now, we were talking about it after church this morning. Honest believers do not talk about their attainments. They talk about self-depreciation and self-dissatisfaction. And John the Baptist said it well, didn't he, in John chapter 3? I must decrease, and he must increase. There is no room in this world for God's glory and your glory. God's glory and my glory. There's no room for that. And unless we come to a place where we are discontented in our conclusion of where we are spiritually, just as Paul was, we will never ever feel the need to urgently grow. So if I'm good, I won't look at 2018 as an opportunity to grow. Some people think that since we can't reach sinlessness and perfection while on this side of glory, there's no use to pursue it at all. Paul would not agree with that. We should desire to grow. And we should tonight go ahead and admit to ourselves and admit to God that we have not grown this past year to the degree that we would like to grow. I haven't glorified God to the degree that I would like to glorify God. I haven't dealt with my sins and my shortcomings and those sins that so easily beset me to the degree that I would like to deal with them. I'm not where I am. I'm not where I want to be spiritually. And so Paul says this honest, open conclusion and confession of his present spiritual condition is, I have counted, I have done the accounting, I have put the numbers together, and I myself have not apprehended. I have not reached the place where I would like to be with the Lord. Amen? And all of us should say that as well. But notice number two, the forgetting of past spiritual experiences. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. It is amazing how much our past messes up our future. Right? That almost sounds Joel Osteen-y, don't it? You know, your past is, but I don't want to be Joel Osteen. The image that Paul is presenting here is that of a runner in a race. And a runner, if he ever looks behind him, will inevitably what? Slow down. And that looking behind him may cost him the race. Why would the runner look backward? Or why would we look toward the past? Well, one reason I thought is that the runner wants to look and he wants to see the distance he's already covered. we do like to boast, don't we, in the progress that we've already made. Been there and done that. I would remind you, it doesn't matter how much of the race you've run, you got to finish the race. It doesn't matter how much you've got behind you, what matters is how much you got in front of you. He may look behind to see how much distance he's already covered. He may also look behind to see how many other runners he's passed. Of course, that doesn't matter either, does it? Because the goal is to finish the race. So I would remind you tonight that we are not to look back at our past accomplishments. Some people have very good memories of what they have accomplished. And if you doubt that, they'll be sure to tell you. They are sure to tell you, while they're not in first place, there are still many folks that they are well ahead of. And while they're busy congratulating themselves on past progress, they have slowed down and they have fallen further behind in finishing the race. Say amen. Charles Spurgeon said, listen, the easiest way to give resurrection to old corruptions is to erect a trophy over their graves. And they will at once lift up their heads and howl out, "We are still alive." Just erect a trophy over those sins that you think you've already defeated, and you'll figure out you really haven't defeated them. Then I thought, we might look back to see how little progress we have made and become discouraged at the distance that is yet to be covered. It is to see so little progress that the distance still yet to go is so far and so much that our hearts are discouraged when we consider it. And I want to say this, we can be so overwhelmed by our past failures, and we can be so overwhelmed by those things that have hindered us in the past and have been distractions in the past that we simply lose heart of the great distance that we still have yet to go. So Paul says what? I don't deal in the past. I forget the past. Whatever I have accomplished in the past, that won't help me now. Whatever past failures I've had in the past, I forget those because they will only serve as a hindrance for what is still left for me to travel. Now listen, don't focus on past victories and don't focus on past defeats. They won't help you with the race that's still yet to be run. Amen? So go ahead and admit tonight you're not where you want to be, not where you should be. And go ahead and say tonight, I'm not going to use the past as an excuse. I'm going to run the race that's set before me. Look at number 3. The desire to press spiritually forward. He says, I have done some reckoning, and I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't look to the past. I press forward to what's before me. So instead of looking backward, a good runner always looks forward. His eye is on the prize. And he reaches forth unto those things which are before. A runner is always running, leaning forward. Say amen. His eye is on the goal. His hands are ahead of his feet. He's always reaching for that which he has not reached before. He's not satisfied with the rate at which he is advancing. He's always reaching forward. So when the runner finally gets to the finish line, he's not going to pass through the ribbon leaning backwards. How does he do? He's leaning forward. And you and I have to guard against those things that are less important than running the race that often distract us from pressing forward. May we strive in every thought, may we strive in every word, and may we strive in every action to give glory to God. May we be able to truly say in everything, whether I ate or drank or whatever we did it all to the glory of God. And really, Spurgeon said this too. He said, if you know God and don't want to know Him more, you don't know Him. Say amen. Isn't it true that we as believers cannot rest until we are like Him? So what do? We press toward that mark. We chase after that goal, that in everything, whether we drink or eat or whatever we do all to the glory of God. We strive and we pursue this lofty goal. So the runner leans into the finish line. And so do we lean into these things that are the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And we may not ever obtain what we would like to obtain, but we as God's people should always be reaching forward for it. The deal is not to obtain. Are we reaching forward? 2018. Whatever days God gives us, will we reach forward for God each and every day of the coming year? Number four. He says in the midst of this, but this one thing I do, and I want to focus just a moment on the focus of particular spiritual goals. Don't miss that. He says, I haven't arrived. I haven't obtained. I'm not where I want to be. And I'm not going to look to the past because that's a hindrance. That's a slowdown. That's a problem. I'm going to press forward. I'm going to lean forward into these days that are before me so that I may glorify God. And he says, this is the one thing that I'm going to do. Say amen. So he's going to gather all of his strength and he's going to focus on how many things? One thing. One thing. What is that thing? To glorify God. That his life may glorify God. That he may glorify God. And is there anything more important than that? Should we not cultivate a passion for grace and an intense longing after holiness? You see, I think we should want to serve God as God should be served. Do we not fail and fall short of serving God the way God deserves to be served? And should we be happy with that? Or should we be okay with that? No! I haven't served God in 2017 the way God deserves to be served. But I want to lean forward in 2018 and try to serve Him more like He deserves to be served. If we could only be the people that we ought to be in holiness and in godliness, because we haven't. If I could only praise Him the way that He should be praised. The reminder of the song this morning that Tanya sang, should I not want 1,000 tongues to praise Him? And should not I want 1,000 hands to raise to Him? I have failed to praise Him. I have failed to praise Him the way He deserves and should be praised. Should we not lean into 2018 seeking God's help to praise Him more like He should be praised. You see, Paul was a saved man, wasn't he? But he desired to be a more holy man. So he pressed forward toward the mark of the prize of his high calling in Christ Jesus. And he says here he's going to devote all of his energy, all of his attention, all of his efforts toward this one thing. Moving forward, never self-satisfied, always laboring to be a more holy believer and aiming at this high prize and goal. Paul understood what we fail to understand. We can be the jack of all trades and the master of none. Wouldn't it be better if we were the master of one thing? God. Wouldn't it be great if all of our lives we got good at one thing? Worshiping, glorifying, praising, honoring God. Wouldn't it be great if people could ride by the road and say, I don't know about those people over Lakeview, but I tell you what they're good at. They're good at worshiping God. They're good at glorifying God. I tell you that. I don't know what good they are, but they're good at magnifying God. And so what did Paul do? He simplified his life. I will focus on one single thing, and that thing is God. You remember what Paul said? How foolish was he when he said this? I seek to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. That's it. I just seek to know Him and Him crucified. One thing. And in this one thing, Paul will pursue God with all that he has every single day for the rest of his life. Wouldn't it be great tonight if we got on our knees and we asked God, God, tomorrow starts a new year, and last year was a failure. But I don't want to talk about last year. I don't want to talk about the past. I want to talk about the 365 days that may lay before me. Can you help me focus on one thing? You. Help me focus on you. Help me pursue you. Help me to have more of you every single day in the coming. I think Greg's right. We talked about it this morning. You want to go that route? That's a costly route. Because to focus on one thing, you got to give up everything else. That's why there ain't many doing it. Say amen. You have to give up everything else and major on this one single thing. Paul says, I'm going to press forward till the time comes that I apprehend. Say amen. And when they led Paul out to the guillotine and they chopped his head off, he apprehended. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Paul pursued God right to his bitter end. There's a whole year in front of us if God would be gracious to us and allow us to live. Those days won't be easy and those days won't be carefree. But wouldn't it be good if in 2018 we said, God, make us good at one thing. Make us good at worshiping, glorifying, and honoring you. Help us to pursue you. Help us be Christ-focused in our lives. Amen?